You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, I will be talking with Melanie Bunn, RN, MS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina. We are going to be discussing what is good for your heart is good for your brain. Welcome, Melanie.
It's good to be here, Nicole.
I'm really excited to talk to you about this topic. I think a lot of people want to know out there, what can we do to sort of prevent having some sort of a brain deterioration down the road? And I think, more and more things are coming around to eat well, and you just might be okay. Is that true? I hope.
Well, there are lots of things we can do, and so sure. I'm really excited to be here to share some of those with you.
Wonderful. Okay, so you brought with you some of the top 10 things that people probably don't know about this topic, but should. And the first one that I really thought was funny and great to mention is garbage in your mouth, garbage out your brain. Tell me about that.
Well, it really is true that what we eat makes a difference in how our brain functions.
Speaking to one who just had a McMuffin on the way in this morning, because I had no time for a bowl of oatmeal.
And it's not what you did this morning. It's what you did the last 25 mornings.
Okay. How about this? Mother was right. Go out and exercise, eat your veggies, make friends, and be nice to people and read.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that's so exciting is the things that make a difference don't cost a lot of money, don't take a lot of resources. It's just those things that you grew up with your mother telling you to do.
So true. And right before we started taping the show, you and I were discussing sort of the crazy schedule our children are keeping. And I remember when I was growing up, all summer vacation long, my mom would say, get out of the house. And I would spend the entire day outside using my imagination, playing with ants, feeding them sugar, building mud pies in the sandbox, and she wouldn't see me until dark. But now the kids are so plugged in, and even us as adults, we barely get outside, and we have to schedule it.
And they have a word for that. They're calling them free-range children.
Huh.
You know, that they need time to just be outside and play.
Is that what I was?
Yes, what you were.
Oh,
and I was
nice.
As well.
And it's just not the case. They get bored so easy.
Life is very different than it was.
Yeah, and I think I was bored, but I just wasn't let back in. So I was my mom was stronger than I. Okay. And so the last one I wanted to bring up is your head is attached to your body. What's good for your body really is what's good for your brain.
And you know, they've invested, you know, millions of dollars in research and
sure.
the greatest minds in the country. And what we really are learning is that it's all connected.
Definitely.
It's all connected.
Definitely. Okay. So, frankly, I have a question for you. Is there really something that can be done to prevent Alzheimer's or dementia?
There are lots of things that can be done to reduce your personal risk.
Okay.
Now, when we talk about prevention, wouldn't mm-hmm. it be lovely if there was a vaccine or
yes.
an antibiotic, you know, something you could take that
yes.
would just make it go away. And mm-hmm. at this point, or make it not ever happen, guarantee that this won't develop. And the science really isn't at that point yet. But mm-hmm. the good news is we are learning that there are many things that you can do every day that will reduce your risk.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is there are things that, and age is the most well-established mm-hmm. one, that we know is very, very highly associated with developing dementia.
There's no fountain of youth, though.
I'm sorry?
There's no fountain of youth, though.
There's no fountain of youth yet, but there are lots of little trickles.
Sure.
And so what we know is there's nothing we can do that will really keep somebody from developing it.
Sure.
But there are things that reduce your risk, and there are things that appear to delay the onset of symptoms.
Okay.
And so with this disease, developing symptoms at 65 mm-hmm. is completely different than developing symptoms at 85.
Okay. So delaying it is probably the best thing we can do, I'm
Something
sure.
Something worth shooting for.
So what are the three main things, if you could pick three, that we can do to reduce the risk of developing dementia?
I think the three ones that I would emphasize most are exercise,
mm-hmm.
nutrition, mm-hmm. and then keeping your brain active and engaged.
Okay. And as Americans, we're not so good at those three things, are we?
You know, we would love to have that vaccine or love to have that tablet that would just make it go away. And it's those good old-fashioned, hard-to-do daily lifestyle choices that make a difference.
Is it true that the United States has a higher incidence than some of the other developed countries in the world? Or
it does seem to be true. And kind mm-hmm. of the classic one is if you look at people of Japanese
mm-hmm. with
ethnicity.
The fish and...
If they're in Japan and they're living kind of a classic Japanese traditional lifestyle, mm-hmm. Their risk of dementia is much less than if they're living a more urban lifestyle, either mm-hmm. in Japan or in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And so people who are ethnically Japanese can have very different risk factors depending on what they do. And I think that's part of where the American risk mm-hmm. goes up so much.
Wow. Okay. And so you said exercise. Now, I know that's not one of my most favorite things to do, I have to admit. What type of exercise is the most helpful?
Well, let me be real careful. I can't make any specific recommendations
sure.
to any individual person. But generally speaking, the recommendation I make to everybody is more. Just more.
More than what you're doing now.
More than what you're doing now is good. You know, is getting off to a good start. For reducing your risk for developing dementia, mm-hmm. it really does seem that it's the aerobic exercise that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. So that means working at a level where it would be hard to have an in-depth conversation. Mm-hmm. So if you're walking at the mall and you're stopping at every window, not really exercise. If you're walking at the mall and you're really getting a good pace, it's exercise. So that seems to be specifically for reducing risk for dementia the most important. But you can't negate the other types of physical activity that are really critically important. Things like strength training, mm-hmm. really important. Flexibility, balance training, really important to being a healthy person. Mm-hmm. And all of that reduces your risk for dementia. For example, the balance issue is a real challenge for many older people.
Sure.
Doesn't seem to be specifically related to brain function, mm-hmm. but if you have a fall, you hit your head. We do know that head injury is associated with developing dementia.
And that's
dementia.
In the news all the time these days.
Exactly. And so that gets back around to the idea that it's all connected.
Definitely. Well, we are going to take a quick break. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. And it is my pleasure to be speaking with Melanie Bunn, RNMS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina, regarding what is good for your heart is good for your brain. And we'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is your host, Nicole Bruno, on Caring Connections on WCHL. And today I'm talking with Melanie Bunn, RNMS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina. And we are talking about what is good for your heart is good for your brain. And we are going to pick right up where we left off because I know we have so much to talk about here. I want to know what kind of brain work is important. You hear a lot about, you know, do puzzles, do this, do that, but what kind of brain work is important?
Whatever you like to do.
Okay.
And I'm going to say two things that don't sound like they work together, but they really do.
Sure.
So one thing I'm going to say is do things that you love to do. So if you like crosswords, do crosswords. Mm-hmm. If you like music, play your instrument. If you like languages, work on that. Do the things that you love to do.
Sure.
But out of the other side of the mouth, I'm going to say, yes, switch it up.
Okay.
And so, for example, if you play a musical instrument, mm-hmm. choose a different period of music to work on or a different string instrument. So change it up a little bit.
Sure.
There's a theory, what's wired together fires together, the Hebbian theory. And what it says is when your brain gets used to doing things in the same kind of relationship, the same kind of mm-hmm. order, you build functional tracks or ruts. And mm-hmm. so your brain doesn't have to think to
sort
do
of like
that.
Your automatic memory.
Exactly.
Kind of like when you're driving down the road and you don't even remember the last 5 miles because you just do it every day.
Exactly. Or you don't really know which way you do the turn signal to turn right or left.
Or type it on the keyboard even.
A car slams on brakes and you just don't have to think, how do I do the brake? It's just wired. And so it's a very functional, very efficient way of getting our brains to work. but it doesn't enrich our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I encourage people to do is to do things that will enrich your brain. And mm-hmm. so that's intentionally doing things in a different way. So maybe that's learning a new language or reading something and then doing a discussion about it with a friend who's read the book mm-hmm. as well. Also, even just really simple things. Like we get into these patterns, these muscle movement patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So you probably, every single time you carry your keys, you carry them in your dominant hand. You don't
sure.
even think about it. You click that button, you don't even think about it. Try switching to the other hand.
Interesting.
And that'll build new pathways in your brain. The next time you go to church or your faith community.
Sure.
Instead of sitting where you usually mm-hmm. sit,
that
try
assigned
sitting
seat.
Somewhere else. Now, I was doing a program for seniors at a church,
uh-huh.
and I made that suggestion. And
Ooh.
The pastor came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Now, I may be calling you Sunday afternoon because not everybody in our congregation is here."
Yeah.
But I didn't hear from him, so I guess
yeah.
it went pretty well. But just change the kind of food you eat or where you sit at the table or try eating something with your non-dominant hand.
Could it be simply just going to the grocery store in a different route?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or going through the grocery store in a different way.
Sure.
Just anything that changes things up will make new connections in your brain. And the richer your brain is, the more you can lose and still have enough there connecting to function at a high level.
Interesting. Those are some great tips, and it sounds kind of fun, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. So, is sleep important?
We are learning so much about sleep. Mm-hmm. Sleep is associated with ability to lose weight. Sleep is associated with heart health. Sleep mm-hmm. is definitely associated with brain health.
Sure.
And what we're learning is that when you sleep, your brain actually cleans itself and it actually processes and stores.
Hmm.
And so if your brain doesn't have that opportunity to kind of revive itself, your brain is not going to function at a high level. And so people who are either chronically sleep mm-hmm. impaired because of maybe shift work or because of maybe sleep apnea,
mm-hmm.
their brain just is not going to function well as they age.
So would it be similar to maybe a brand new sleep deprived mom forgetting and putting the milk in the cupboard instead of in the refrigerator?
You know exactly what I'm talking about. And
yes,
haven't many
I do.
Of us been there?
Awesome. Okay. So I've heard that people with diabetes or high blood pressure are more likely to develop dementia. Is this true? And what can we do about it if it is true?
There are some strong associations between diabetes and high blood pressure mm-hmm. and depression and developing dementia. And there's what we can do is make sure when people have those diseases is that they control those diseases as well as they can.
Mm-hmm.
So being very consistent with your medications,
sure.
with monitoring your blood glucose, because it seems to be maybe less the actual disease and more perhaps the way the disease is managed. So if you have diabetes and you keep your blood glucose regulated well, your chance of developing brain disease might be lessened.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. And so then, once a person has a dementia, can we start doing all these things to reverse the problem?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you have between now and the time you develop it to make that change.
Mm-hmm.
Once the person develops dementia, mm-hmm. the process is kind of in process. It's not going to reverse. It's not going to change. However, mm-hmm. people who are healthier manage the symptoms of dementia better.
Okay.
So if you've got someone with dementia who's eating a good diet, getting enough exercise, socially engaged and connected in their community, and doing kinds of cognitive work that is appropriate for their level of decline,
mm-hmm.
then their function and their mood and their life is going to be much better. And that's going to be better for them and better for those who are working with them.
Okay. So when is it too late to start?
Nicole, it is never too late to start. It is never too late to start. So we can each of us choose one thing to start doing today.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes a difference, is
okay.
a small thing, but start now. So
mm-hmm.
maybe someone decides, I'm going to start eating vegetables once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what if that's what you can do, then
sure.
that's what you need to do and start it now. Maybe it's taking a 10-minute walk
mm-hmm.
3 days a week.
Sure.
That's amazing if
yeah.
that's an improvement over what you're currently doing.
Okay. So I guess it's never too late, which is a good thing. So I've also heard some things about red wine. Is that really a true thing, that red wine will help reduce your risk?
It does seem to be. The red wine does seem to be really kind of helpful. Now, if you have alcoholism in your family if you're alcoholic or diabetic, don't start drinking red wine. And the interesting thing is it's a serving a day. And so what that means is you can't take your bottle of wine and pour it into an iced tea glass and consider that to be it. That's not a serving. And you also can't save all of your glasses of red wine up for the weekend.
Okay.
You know, it's a serving a day seems to make
sense. So it's not the alcohol necessarily. So the white wine. So if I was a white wine versus a red wine person.
You know, there does seem to be some research that alcohol in general can be helpful. You know, red wine is kind of the standard, the one that's been tested the most. But the other seem to be helpful, too.
Okay. Well, we have to take a quick break. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. And today I have the very distinct pleasure to be speaking with Melanie Bunn, RNMS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina. And we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL, and today I'm speaking with Melanie Bunn, RNMS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina, and we are talking about what's good for your heart is good for your brain. Welcome back, Melanie.
Thank you so much.
So in the last few minutes we have left, I thought it would be important for the listening audience to hear a little bit more about the important do's and don'ts of nutrition, if there were.
And that's so important because that's where it gets back to what's good for your heart is good for your brain. Mm-hmm. And we're learning more and more that again, variety, well-balanced diet is what makes a big difference. And the Mediterranean diet seems to be kind of an exemplar of what a good diet should be, that there's fish and lean protein, fruits and vegetables, nuts, the wine. And that seems to be just kind of the basics of what we're really talking about is good and healthy for the brain. So omega-3 fatty acids, all the vitamins and nutrients that are in fruits and vegetables. What seems to really be bad for the brain is very processed, very high fat, fast food.
The stuff on every corner.
The stuff that's cheap and really available.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem in the long run to be a very good investment.
Sure.
It does seem to be, you know, good food that looks like what it used to be seems to be what is really healthy for our brains.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, even some of the stuff that looks good, all that perfect looking produce, it just doesn't seem to taste the way it used to taste years ago. Things have just changed. Is there anything else that seems to make a difference?
Well, you mentioned kind of the head injury thing and protecting your brain in a number of different ways, particularly for those of you who have dementia in your family and are thinking about your children. Mm-hmm. Protecting kids' brains is really important. So helmets and choosing carefully what sports you want to kind of encourage them to participate in. That's going to, in the long run, be good for kids' brains. And that's going to be good for us as we age
down the road. Well, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. I hope you'll join us again sometime.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections on WCHL. And today I had the pleasure of speaking with Melanie Bunn, RNMS, Dementia Training Consultant with Alzheimer's North Carolina, about what's good for your heart is good for your brain. Thank you again for joining us. And as always, you may email your caring questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
2 years ago, we launched chapelboro.com so that our community could have its first digital town square. Since then, our town has evolved and chapelboro.com is evolving with it.
Chapelboro 2.0 carries the same great features and now provides an even better user experience. With its sleek new design and wide accessibility, Chapelboro 2.0 truly is
bigger, faster, and stronger.
We encourage you to stop by multiple times a day. We guarantee there'll always be something new to see.
Chapelboro 2.0, bigger, faster, stronger. Check it out now.